Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever it is where you are right now. Welcome to the Digitally Uploaded Podcast, the companion podcast for digitallydownloaded.net. This is my announcer voice. Hi, my name is Alan. I'm the editor of the podcast and now the host. With me this week we've got Matt.
G'day, how are ya?
Yeah. That was... alrighty. Anyway, moving on from that. We also have Trent.
Hey, I can't do accents. I just have typical white nerd accent.
That's great. That's what we need. That's what we need. And we have Tyler, who we've somehow, for some reason, let back onto the show.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Alrighty.
Tyler does the Aussie accent better than I do. Well done, Tyler.
Oh, well, we're all going to put a shrimp on the barbie.
I don't want to say this is a cursed podcast already, but it's on tracks.
Mate, it is the Arvo.
I don't think you know what you're saying because it sounds very British all of a sudden. Anyway, we're going to jump into some Miku music real quick and then we'll get straight into it. Time of year again and E3 has come upon us. What an absolute magical journey we're going to have this year. We're going to see some releases. We're going to see some not releases. It's going to be great. It's a 10 out of 10. Best E3 every year. I'm being very facetious. I don't know. I have very low expectations of this year's E3 for some reason, and I don't really think I need to go into much detail because I think Days Gone sort of exemplifies everything that I think is wrong with E3 this year, but that's all right. Matt, as a seasoned veteran, as a Cajun spice of the game industry.
As an old man.
Yeah. what do you think of this year so far?
Yeah, it seems pretty pooish to me.
Of course. Got him.
No, it just, I'm not that interested in it. And we've started to see some announcements made about what we can expect from the show. We know that Nintendo doesn't do E3 stage shows anymore, but they do.
I said doo-doo.
Video. Yeah, I did say doo-doo. They do the directs, and they've also got a Smash tournament thing happening, which I guess will be the introduction to the new Smash Brothers for a lot of people, which is cool.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if they just started playing Smash 4?
Yes.
Everyone get out your Wii U gamepads.
They may well do that because it's Nintendo, and Nintendo likes to do crazy stuff like that. But who knows? Fingers crossed we see a little bit.
Just made out of cardboard. New Labo dog thing.
Wait, did you call a Wii pad?
No, it's the Wii U gamepad. The Wii pad.
But anyway, yeah, hopefully they show off a little bit of it, and maybe some characters, and hopefully there's some Western characters in there, because that'll annoy the heck out of a certain Twitter person that's blocked me for annoying him back. Anyway.
Ravens.
Sony has announced that it is actually not going to do a traditional show this year, which is surprising, I think, for a lot of people, because in the last couple of years, people have been looking forward to Sony as the one that will provide relief from the crap that Microsoft pushes out in their stage show. Sony instead is going to focus on its AAA nonsense, which doesn't apparently include Days Gone, because that game has been pushed to 2074. It does include they're going to be shown off that Last of Us sequel, which I really don't care for. The Ghost of Tsushima, which is probably going to be terrible because it comes from Sucker Punch, and
what's anti Sucker Punch? They made a bunch of
Rocket Robot on Wheels. Thank you very much.
No, you're all wrong.
I agree with that. I haven't played a good Sucker Punch game.
Have you played Rocket Robot on Wheels?
No, but my point still stands.
That's your problem.
Anyway, so Sony's not going to do what it usually does and show off a lot of its indie stuff on stage and the smaller stuff, which is what I really look forward to with Sony. The more creative, mid tier stuff. That's all going to be pushed, I guess, to the floor show for people who are actually at E3, which leaves us, I guess, with Microsoft, and nobody cares about Microsoft.
Does it leave us with anything, I think, is what you're trying to ask. Hello, everyone, we're Microsoft. We're going to show you Sea of Thieves. We all know that you love Sea of Thieves.
It's already out. One game. We're going to show it.
Guys, Sea of Thieves, though, we're adding Forza Horizon to it. Now drive a car boat.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be about it for Microsoft. I think Square Enix actually has a show planned or something, which would be cool, I guess.
Based.
I'm sure it will be, because, 10 years in a row they've tried to tell us that game's coming out soon. Maybe one day they'll get it right. And then finally, I'm desperately hoping that Devolver Digital has a show. Last year's Devolver Digital was a piece of performative art, and I don't know if I learned too much about games from it, but Jesus, that was a great show. If you get a chance, I think it's probably on a YouTube somewhere, go and watch it, because it is something spectacular.
It is straight up art. It's so much
fun. And I really hope they do another one, because that was the highlight of last year's E3. So I guess that kind of tells you what I'm looking forward to with this one.
So you're looking forward to no game announcements, but you're looking forward to the Devolver Digital shit posting show.
Hell yeah.
That's basically it.
Yep.
State of the industry.
It's good, actually.
It should be fine. I don't know. It'll be the most, I'm not excited about new games at the moment. Especially after God of War, everything seems worse.
Oh gosh, Alan!
Was God of War that bad?
Is that good?
we need to have an intervention for you, I think, with God of War.
No, I'm still playing.
Maybe they can announce the Sexy Brutale 2 at E3, and then you'll
sexy God of War.
then you'll be recovered because you'll realize that there are other good games out there as well.
Yeah, that was like Hellblade, not Hellblade. What was that terrible game on PS3 that was a launch title? Heavenly Blade. God of War. Heavenly
Sword. Hey, that wasn't terrible. That was
it
really
was,
good.
It was horrendous. It played terribly.
It was really good. You're wrong. You're wrong. So, Tyler, are you going to be at E3? Because you're like American and stuff.
I'm not sure.
Tyler is an American, so it means that he gets a ticket to every American show. He is awesome.
I do. I have a pass, but I'm not sure if it's going to make sense financially to go. I'm talking to some sites about potentially covering it, so maybe. I'm not sure yet.
Okay. If you do go, are you looking forward to anything in particular?
Devolver.
Not really. Video games kind of suck.
Da, 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 da.
Well, hey, spot the lie, okay?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, you get a nice breakfast out of it, probably.
I do like breakfast pastries.
You go for a nice croissant. Be present. Be very present.
Ha ha ha, croissant. That's a little French for you. I'm cultured.
I believe it's pronounced crescent.
You know it's going to be a crappy free if the biggest thing you're looking forward to is the continental breakfast.
I mean, it's got eggs and croissants. Like, what more could you want? But yeah.
Actually, one thing I will say, I did get an email from the good people of Bandai Namco asking if I was going to be at E3, which I think is the first year that they've kind of done that here anyway. So it might be that Bandai has something planned that they want to show off and get as much media attention as possible, which would be cool. More Soul Calibur. They'll announce Talon and then suddenly it'll be the best E3 ever.
Well, like, they've also got that other, is it Code Vein? Is Code Vein that Dark Souls-y sort of thing? Yeah, that looks neato.
It's the Dark Souls of Vampire Gothic.
It's the Dark Souls of anime.
They'll probably announce a new Tales game because it's been a while since they've had one of those, hasn't it?
Zeria came out in 2015, 16.
Yeah, so it's about time. They're due. It'll be
time
cool.
For a Switch title.
Look, I want someone in a official E3 press show to just say, it's time to switch it up, and then have like the port details of a Switch game just be on the screen. Like, that'd be great. I just want that. And it's probably going to be Devolver. If anyone, it's going to be Devolver, and it'll be a port for like some game that I just don't care about, but will immediately start caring about.
It'll be like Serious Sam. The new series.
Yeah, that might be good. I played that on Switch.
I would
absolutely play that sitting around in a room with 14 other Switches playing like 16 player online sort of stuff. That'd be fun.
Yeah, be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I'm not particularly caring about E3 at the moment. TGS towards the end of the year is more my jam. And
who could have seen that one?
I'm sure that'll be good. I'm sure that'll be good. Because Koei Tecmo goes there and does stuff. And
then ruins Dynasty Warriors, yeah.
Alan, we talked about this.
Have we done it live on stream?
if you want to bitch about Dynasty Warriors, you can go and do so on Jim Sterling's podcast, because I'm sure he does that every week and still does it every week because he can't seem to get over it. But on this podcast, we like Dynasty Warriors.
I don't think you understand how personalities and opinions work. On this homogenized opinion, everyone is correct at the same time because there is one prevailing opinion.
You're allowed some opinions and some free will, but on some things, it's not negotiable.
Wow. Welcome to digitallydownloaded.net, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Every game gets a 5-hour five. Yes.
Trent, stop encouraging the listeners. I get enough of that already as it is.
So, oh, my bad. 0-5 for Dynasty, next Dynasty Warriors.
0 out of 4. Okay, so with that, we're going to actually move on. You know, now that I've mentioned it, let's just pick some Dynasty Warriors 9 soundtrack. Let's go.
Oh, okay, well, I had some different music playing, but that's okay. Some Dynasty Warriors music it is.
Let's go Dynasty Warriors 9.
Welcome back, everybody. So for the second section of our podcast, we're going to talk about something a little bit different to the usual Japanese stuff that we talk about. And we're going to talk about soccer or football or whatever it is that we need to say for Tyler to understand.
Sport.
For Tyler to understand the sport that we're talking about, I don't know what Americans call it at the moment. They probably call it something different and just haven't told anybody. But that one, the one that is FIFA and PES and stuff, because the World Tootsie Cup is... Tootsie ball, okay.
That's what we call it.
Tootsie ball. So the World Cup is actually coming up in glorious Russia, and it should be fun. I think that's what, next, about a month from now, actually.
Yep.
Which will be great. I'm looking forward to that. Russia's actually in a decent time zone for us Aussies, so we can kind of watch the matches without having to record them and wake up and have those results ruined on Twitter on us. And yeah, that means that there'll be a lot of attention put onto the soccer games, the football games this year. I know that EA is actually pushing out an update to FIFA 18, which has all the World Cup stuff in it, which is good. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's free, which is actually remarkably generous of EA. I was fully expecting an $80 DLC for it, just to have
that. I was kind of hoping it'd be a loot box.
they need to do some free stuff on games no one cares about so they can get some credit back.
I think that's categorically wrong that no one cares about FIFA because it makes a boatload of money.
Yeah, Trent, I can guarantee you there are still people playing FIFA every single day.
I play it semi-regularly, so like it's a good game.
Yeah, I played on my Switch quite a bit, actually.
Oh, you played why do you play the Switch version? It's so bad.
Because I can do it on the train, Alan. I can't take my PlayStation 4 on the train, can I?
You can. You're just not putting enough effort in.
What?
Do the games still get released on Vita? Just get a Vita.
No, there's no Vita.
No one owns a Vita anymore. It's fine.
The last FIFA game that was on Vita was like 10 years ago. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that update. I actually used to always buy the dedicated World Cup football games, because I prefer that format of the game to club competitions. I'm not the hugest fan of the club comps, and I don't tend to watch every week, but I do watch every single World Cup match. I don't know. I just get very obsessed with the national sense of it. So, yeah, I always used to buy the World Cup editions of FIFA that EA would throw out every year. And now that it's a free update to FIFA 18, I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to encourage more sales of FIFA 18 so that when FIFA 19 comes out, all the people who have bought 18 for the World Cup are going to be like, oh, dang, better buy the new one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is smart, but also, like, I'm going to do it as well. It's like, I know what they're doing, but I'm still going to let them do it because I'm still going to enjoy FIFA that much.
Yeah. It does mean that Matt has to play a game with a Frostbite engine, though.
No, I don't think the Switch one uses the Frostbite engine.
It doesn't. It uses the 16 engine, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's an older engine for FIFA, which is not... I'm not going to say it's the perfect football game or anything like that, and I don't think it's anywhere near as good as the PlayStation 4 version. But again, the portability of it is why I like it, so that's a good thing. As another note, I'm completely addicted to the Champion... the Football Manager game on the Switch as well. Even
those
though
games are really, really good. I feel like
they really
Sega's biggest franchise right now is probably Football Manager, which is so strange to think about.
I think it's amazing. I think my team just got promoted, and I was actually cheering because it was like 20 hours of work to get my team promoted. And then when you think about it, you're only looking at spreadsheets and stuff. And that's basically the entirety of the game, and I just get so addicted to it. Because the strategy of getting your team of bloody idiots who can't kick a ball around to promotion is pretty cool.
Thing as well is that the Football Manager was in Sega and Sonic All-Stars Racing. You could play as Football Manager.
That's pretty cool.
It was just a dude in a car. It was great.
That's pretty cool. And then, of course... there's PES, but PES doesn't have a international mode, let alone a World Cup mode, unfortunately.
Licensing. So, because I've not played PES in a very long time.
I mean, PES has always had the UEFA Champions League, licensing, yeah. which is major. It's a huge thing in Europe, obviously, because that's basically, or if anything, that's even bigger than the World Cup for a lot of European football fans. But they've lost that. they've actually lost the UEFA Champions League license, which means they don't have any license at the moment, I believe, which is a big problem for this year's PES. And I actually think that it's good to have PES as a strong alternative to FIFA because it forces EA to
actually make attempts. Yeah,
yeah, not be lazy as anything like they do with the Madden and NHL games. And yeah, I'm just hoping Konami finds a alternative license that they can apply because yeah, that would be disappointing. Well, they could probably go around and pick up some of the licenses that FIFA just can't seem to get. Not that there's many left anymore.
Yeah, so there's like one left in the world that they don't own.
Because FIFA has A League, FIFA has the J League, which has been notoriously hard to get. The Japanese league. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's many major football franchises left that EA doesn't have. So they'll probably pick up UEFA now as well. So FIFA 19 will be pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
in terms of the licensing.
Yeah, very very big game. On that line, do you reckon that maybe they should move into a sort of sensible soccer sort of game then, where you can just customize everything? Because I feel like that would be the biggest competitor right now.
Yeah, that's probably what they're going to have to do. I imagine they'll probably have to look at maybe even selling the game at a cheaper upfront price so that you got the choice either pay for the full premium FIFA game or you get the cheaper one, which has the good mechanics. And I've always preferred PES's actual football mechanics to the FIFA series. So if they can put that in a cheaper package, I guess, without the licenses, I think they might still find themselves a niche of the more dedicated football fans.
It's called Xbox Game Pass.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it's on the EA one.
That's pretty good. Wow, okay. Well, there you go. I think we also need to give a quick little mention to Mario Strikers.
Ah, yes, the classic football games.
Because that is the best football game for like...
Only the GameCube one, though. The Wii one sucked.
The Wii one was great. What are you talking about?
No, they ruined everything. They ruined everything.
Yeah, they really did.
The multiple goal mechanic was terrible.
Multiple goal mechanic was great because it meant that you actually
was terrible
being afraid constantly.
The Wii remote. They ruined the balance so much. The original GameCube game, though, fantastic.
See, you can substitute excellent everything.
You could play as Waluigi.
Waluigi
could do like a crotch chop move after you scored a goal, and it was
He still does that.
Yeah, but it was good. It was better the first time around, not the second.
Yeah, I'm with Tyler. I agree. I think that the GameCube
one. Man, I had a really like non-PG example to use about it being better the first time, but I'm just leaving it at that.
No, just say it's near the end of the podcast.
No, don't you dare. what I actually really liked, because that was the same developer that did Sega Soccer Slam beforehand, wasn't it?
Was this?
I'm pretty sure it's the same developer. And the Sega Soccer Slam was the one that I really got hooked onto, and my brothers did, and we played that obsessively for months and months and months. And then, yeah, the Mario Strikers one was good, and then the Wii one came out, and we kind of gave up on that series at that point. So it's probably just as well they don't produce anymore. It kind of goes the same. All the Mario sports games are a bit like that, because like the tennis one was great on the N64.
And then slowly went downhill until it reached the Wii U one.
Yeah, the Wii U one was just the most abysmal pile of crap ever. And from the looks of it, the Switch one isn't going to do much better, unfortunately.
But I've got it pre-ordered for the Caps, if EB picks the Caps up in Australia. The Caps!
Well, I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's a good game, but I don't think it is, because all those tennis games are just gimmicky mini-games, basically, now, and they don't play anything like a tennis game, which is unfortunate. But it would be good to see the Mario Strikers brand brought back in a game that's actually worth playing.
As a little quick aside, so if anyone's ever played a hockey game, they will know that NHL Hits Pro is the biggest jam in the history of mankind. And this is made by the same team that made Strikers, which is so cool. I didn't know that. That's great. I'm very happy for them. It's unfortunate that they've been also forced to make Captain America Super Soldier on the Xbox.
Right, and on that note, we'll go to some music, I think. I've picked music from Final Fantasy XIV because there's a big update coming, and actually Final Fantasy XIV has a campaign going at the moment to get you back, to get players who haven't been around for a while to play the game again. So, yeah, I thought I'd give it a mention and a call out in the podcast. And so I've picked the best of Final Fantasy XIV's music, Good King Mong.
I don't have much of an experience with Yakuza other than Yakuza 0 because that was my first game with the franchise, and since then I've been sort of quietly playing that in the background of everything else. As someone who doesn't know anything about Yakuza 6, what should I know about Yakuza 6?
Well, apparently Kiryu is a virgin, according to the director of the game, per an interview this week, which is why we kind of decided we wanted to talk about Yakuza this time, or this podcast, because I find that absolutely ridiculous and stupid and implausible, and they've just ruined Yakuza completely by saying something so silly.
I feel like it's too busy saying that things are rad.
It's all over. The series
now,
is all over.
Kiryu is a sweet boy, and he does not use his penis.
He's not a boy. He's like a 40,000-year-old man at this point.
He's a boy at heart, because here's the thing, Alan. You may not know this, but when you're in prison doing hard time, your soul doesn't age. Just your body.
Tyler.
This is true.
Tyler, how many jails have you been a part of?
Three.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Why do you ask?
I was just wondering if you're secretly a 70-year-old man.
On the outside, yes. But that's why I'm like the cool 26-year-old games writer, because, you know, I spent a lot of hard time trying to find myself, finding love in the shower style.
Okay.
So yeah, Kiryu doesn't fuck. That's what
But it's impossible. He has to.
No, he's always been Voxel.
No. Fat. This is impossible. Look, here's the thing, right? He spends a lot of time.
He likes to flirt with women.
No.
He's terrified of the sex scene.
Here's the thing. He spends a lot of time at hostess clubs. He runs them, and he goes on dates with hostesses after work. Anybody who has spent any time in the kind of the hostess community or culture in Japan knows full well what it means when you go on a date with a hostess after work. And it means one thing, because it's often involved. Yeah, it often involves money being transferred or the promise that the customer will come back like every day for the next month or whatever. It's basically like that's the way that scene works. Officially, it's not prostitution, and certainly the club doesn't endorse it. But if people want to make their own arrangements in private time, then that's fully encouraged, because that's good customer service, and that's how it works. So the fact that he spends so much time in and among the kind of the hostess culture and goes on dates with these women means that he certainly gets it on.
I asked about Yakuza 6, and I didn't expect this.
Well, I have things to say, because this director is an idiot. Like, he's up there with Kojima now, as far as I'm concerned.
No. No?
Yes.
It's wrong. Let's deal with some factual statements here. Kiryu is good, and good people are virgins. So...
See, I agree with Kyla. I've
never seen anything be sandbagged harder.
Because Iru would be that, like, you know, he probably just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Like, he goes in on these dates, but he's not instigating them. He's always, like, roped into them. Like, in Yakuza 6, he's, like, always getting scammed. Like, and then, like, it doesn't mean he's, like, he's just always in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, in
this case, are you seriously arguing that this dude that actually runs crime families within the organized mobs of Japan is that clueless? Are you seriously arguing that?
Have you seen him, like, try to type? This dude's so much time in jail. He doesn't even know how to use, like, a cell phone. So, like, sex is totally unknown to him. Because, so trust me, I can figure out sex is
like a cell phone.
I cannot figure out the G-spot.
I want to recall to a specific moment before the podcast began in which Matt said, can we keep this relatively PG-13?
Well, this is relatively PG-13 compared to last week's podcast.
Yeah.
Last time, Yakuza is a, R18. R18? MA-15? Whatever it is in Australia. So it's never going to be PG.
No,
yeah,
it's
I don't think Kiryu's having any sex, because he's a nice boy. Just think about it. Use your head, Matt.
Well, once again, I'm being attacked for presenting new ideas.
He's not that nice. I mean, have you seen his kill count? Like, the number of people he beats.
He collects stray cats and gives them a home, Matt.
Hey, you know, some mass
and
murderers
stray
do
kids.
Like,
he owns an orphanage.
Yeah,
I was about to. Children now. I thought you were about to say he owns a daughter. I was like, yeah, that's probably closer to the nature of that relationship.
No. Daddy, he's a daddy, not an uncle.
Did you just say he's a daddy, not an uncle? Yes. Well, yeah, you walked into that one.
I don't like this. Can we... Okay. Yakuza 6, is it good?
Okay, off topic. Yes, Yakuza 6 is a very good game, and it is actually a very good...
It's a good game about not having sex, because when it's revealed... Think about it. When it's revealed that the father of Haruka's baby, like, did the deed, they're like, why didn't you use a condom? And he was like, my bad.
Actually, that was Kiryu. That was actually Kiryu. He's actually the father. That's the big plot twist.
No. Dude, no, Matt. No.
It is. It's the big plot
twist.
That's
not right. This is
bad. I know this is going into spoiler territory. Ed, good on you for trying to preserve it, Tyler. But, you know,
I'm leaving this call. He's uncle, not daddy.
No, right. He's daddy. No, but seriously, Yakuza 6 is basically it's a dad simulator. Like, there's nothing else about it. Like, it's that's the game.
Dads don't fuck.
But yeah, given how many of those other games out there, like God of War and whatever, are doing the whole, you know,
Kratos definitely had sex because there's many games with that.
Yeah, given how many games are doing the whole dad thing as a theme at the moment, I actually think that Yakuza 6 does a really good job of being both different and showing, being kind of subversive to that whole thing while also being a dad story in itself. So I think you will find it especially interesting, Alan, because you've spent so much time with God of War and other dad games. I think you'll find
Alan, Yakuza 6 to be really interesting. Now?
I'm 21.
Do you feel like a father now?
No.
Okay.
What a question to ask someone.
Well, you played God of War. I felt like a daddy.
I... Okay.
Let's adopt.
All right.
I could just see you and Alan adopting a kid, Tyler.
This is a problem. Alan is too young to be hosting this podcast. He just doesn't understand the fundamental aspects of that. Once you have a child...
He doesn't know how to please a guest.
Okay. Ooh. Anyway,
maybe it is Kairu.
Just all right. So having only played Yakuza 0, what about Yakuza 6 makes it different enough that I should try it?
Well, it's Trent's flippant response aside, it is actually set in a very different time period. So Yakuza 0 is obviously set in the 80s, and it's got a lot of the kind of... I mean, the thing about Yakuza has always been it shows off the kind of the age or the period of time that it's been presented in so well. So you get such a good sense of the 80s from Yakuza 0. Yakuza 6 is set in the here and now, so you get a very different kind of... environment to run around in and stuff. So I certainly think that it's more relevant now because the 80s is kind of not relevant anymore, other than
Player One just came out.
yeah, exactly. Beyond that, it's not really relevant. But Yakuza 6 is certainly some of the side quests and stuff, the themes and all of that. It's all quite relevant to today, which is, I think it kind of feels like a different game actually. So you'll get a very different kind of experience while still being true to Yakuza, and you still get to play with the same character.
Yeah, all the Yakuza bosses are like all millennials, so that's pretty much it.
Well, they've clearly never worked a day in their lives then.
Yeah, and on that note, we might wrap things up, I think, before Tyler can say something else.
I've been on good behavior.
You have been pretty well. Good
behavior, Tyler. Arguable.
Relatively well, relatively PG. We'll finish things up with some music from Baldur's Gate, actually, because I wanted to throw some classic music in there, and Baldur's Gate is some music that we haven't actually played on the podcast before. It's good. If you never played that game for whatever reason, play it. It's really great, and it was back when BioWare was good before they became part of EA.
I like Andromeda. Don't at me. Actually don't like Andromeda.